Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's the late, great Mad Dog Englishman, Joe Cocker, bringing us back. 17 till I'm Jim Blasingame. We're rocking and rolling here on the Small Business Advocate Show. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Cliff Inico is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, attorney at law, specializing in legal and tax issues for small businesses, a very prolific writer. His new book is called Crowdfunding Handbook, which is absolutely the standard now for crowdfunding. Cliff, thanks again for being here. Congratulations on that new book. In the last segment, we talked about why you would buy a website and what are the basic elements of it. Now let's go to the other side of the table, and keeping the buyer in mind, talk about it from the seller standpoint. Why would someone sell a website, and what would they be selling?
Okay. Well, it's the same thing, but kind of mirror image. If you are looking to sell, I mean, if you're getting calls from potential buyers that are interested in buying your site, the key is prepare for sale today. Don't assume that your website does not have value. There is somebody out there who wants to buy it, even if they only want the domain name and do something else with it. So I have a couple of websites like that. So start preparing with a sale in mind. Start getting your ducks in line. And the key is, first of all, if you have revenue, have an attorney take a look at all your terms and conditions documents and make sure that they can be assigned without having to go back to these people and get their consent. You don't want to go back. If you have 500 customers or if you've got 200 advertisers, if you're a content site, that's real money. You'll get a good price for that. But it's going to be a problem if these people have the right to pull out because they don't know who your buyer is. I had this happen about a month ago. A guy called me up. He wanted my consent. He had acquired a website from somebody I'd never heard of, and my column was appearing on his website, this guy's website, and he wanted my consent. And I said, first of all, who the heck are you, and who the heck is this? I wasn't even aware that site was running my column.
You haven't given first consent, let alone second consent.
Right. Well, fortunately, this buyer had a good lawyer. He says, well, look, we don't know if Cliff's going to come along, so contact him. And well, actually, he did cut a deal. I heard that he was okay. He wasn't like a crazy guy or something like that you don't want to be involved with. So I let him go ahead and do it. But the point of the matter is, this is what happens. You know, a lot of times people just grab stuff off the net, photos. Watch out, especially for photos. Make sure that you have the rights. If it's something you pulled off the internet, chances are somebody else owns the right to that photo, and you're going to get hit with a huge royalty payment, or your buyer will, if that's not dealt with. I always tell people, watch out for Getty Images. Yeah. Getty Images is one of the leading photo bureaus in the country. Virtually every historical photo that you see on the web is owned by those people.
And they are expensive. I've bought thousands of dollars worth of their photos before.
And let me tell you,
they're expensive.
And they are expensive, and they are brutal.
And
if
they
find out that you're using their stuff, their
they
content,
will follow you.
They will follow you, and you cannot negotiate with them. They want like $10 a day for each day that photo was up on your website.
Yeah.
They can tell exactly how long it's been up.
If it says Getty, well, you shouldn't be doing any of that. But if it says Getty Images, look out.
Just stop right there. Do not download.
Call them. Well, you call them. I mean, as I said, we bought them because we wanted them. They had an image that I wanted for a book that we were working on and for somebody else, and we wrote them a check.
Yeah, and they're actually pretty reasonable people to deal with.
Yeah, it's not prohibitive. It's just not 29. It's not like when you go to some of these other sites and you can buy an image for $16 or something.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's probably going to cost you $150.
Don't ever assume that something is public domain just because it appears on the internet. You'd be surprised. Copyrights last for a long time.
Yeah.
Even stuff from like the 1920s, 1930s.
So what you're saying is make sure that the person you're buying it from, the website from, isn't actually violating something themselves.
Well, that's exactly right.
That you've attributed value to.
That's right. In other words, you got to do some diligence here. Make sure you own the rights. And if you don't own the rights to something, you know, get that resolved now before you have to deal with a buyer's counsel who's looking for this kind of stuff. I mean, I do that. When I'm representing a buyer, I look at the website, I look at various pieces, and I actually make up a list for my client. Make sure you ask about this. Make sure you ask about that. You know, show them a copy of your license agreement for that photo. You know, this kind of stuff. So that's going to happen. If the buyer's got a decent attorney, that's going to happen. So, So get prepared for that. Make sure that you own all the rights. If there's anything there that's questionable, find out. And whenever a contract is non-assignable, that's a red flag. That means you're going to have to go back to that person and get their consent to the assignment. And hopefully it's not, you know, the engine that makes your site go.
And also, another thing, Cliff, is if they have any technology, some people do, as I do, my proprietary technology, if you're going to move that, some technology may be being held together by baling wire and scotch tape or something, over at the current location, if you're going to move it over to Yahoo or Google or something like that or Amazon, it may not move.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there may be.
You may not be given permission to move. I mean, there's all kinds of things. So you gotta put all kind of caveats in there and road test it before you move it, before you pay for it.
That's right. Precisely right. Yeah, that's it. It's going to be tricky because when you did all this, you weren't really thinking about this. You didn't have a buyer in mind. Now you're in that situation, so now's the time to get your act together, and if necessary, I mean, there are attorneys who do this kind of work who will deal with the Yahoo
including you.
World, including me,
yeah.
You know, and the job can be done. In most cases, it's painful, but it's doable.
You used the jigsaw puzzle as an example of the difficulty in moving one of these things. I used the mushroom example as a way of pointing out to you.
You had a thing for mushrooms.
Or smart aleck, you could use the iceberg example. What you see on the screen is the tip of the iceberg or the mushroom popping up. There's a whole organism behind it that's much bigger than the tip.
That's right.
So pay attention
to that.
We're going to take a quick break. I need your website quickly, Cliff.
Okay, it's succeedinginyourbusiness.com.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. Cliff's going to give us some pointers on what to ask the candidates. Can't wait to hear about this. Tintel, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.